All right, guys. So welcome to the Physio Plus Fitness podcast with me, Chris Lendrum, or Lenny, and Glenn Robbins. We're going to basically have a little chat today, just me and Glenn. So we've got no guests. We're going to be chatting about all things men's fitness, particularly over the age of 40.
I'm an advocate of training whatever your age. I think from childhood all the way through to 60s, 70s. But obviously it does become more challenging in certain ways. For me now, it's changed from in my 20s, probably training more for aesthetics, if I'm honest, to in my 40s, training more for like mental kind of sanity. So that's the big one for me. And I probably always was using it as a method of stress release and anxiety control and stuff, but just wasn't aware of it when I was younger to the same degree. Whereas now I kind of build it into my pretty much daily routine that I have to do some kind of movement or exercise to help alleviate all the stresses of the modern world and family life and business life and everything else that comes with it. So the massive benefit for me is mental, and then obviously a very important benefit is physical. So helping with your physical health and your physical condition and your ability to, you know, do stuff for your kids and longevity and do stuff in your older age. I know that's a big driver for you as well, isn't it? Last time we were speaking on the subject. But yeah, I mean, the two obvious ones, mental, physical, and the added sort of benefit of participating in a sport, improving at something, still feeling part of a team in some ways. So that's the main driver for me. What about yourself?
What do you do now? Like, what does a typical week look like for you in terms of training? Obviously you're 41, is it?
42. Yeah, 42.
42. So, you look like a spring chicken, mate. So you're 41, you've obviously got three kids, you've got a very, very busy business and all sorts of other things going on. So obviously you haven't got a lot of time, like a lot of guys out there, a lot of dads with families and blokes, you know, with busy works and stuff. So how do you fit it in, and what do you typically do on a normal week?
So I've got quite a mix, really, and again, the emphasis on certain aspects have changed over the years, but my main passion, I would say, is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I tend to get to do that three times a week on a good week. So Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, I'll do 2 to 2.5 hours of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then Monday and Wednesday and Thursday, I will do strength training. Wednesday has kind of developed into a bit of a functional fitness kind of session, if you want to call it that, like a bit of a mixture down at Joe Kelly's gym. You know, you've been down there. It's kind of a CrossFit gym and functional fitness gym. And then Sunday I will do a 6K run with my 10-year-old son. I'm pretty much doing something every day, which goes against our two recovery day mantra that we give a lot of our clients. But I find that balance works well for me. So I'm doing a mixture of like three strength training sessions to three jiu-jitsu sessions and a what I would call a recovery run, because I'm still a bit quicker than my 10-year-old at the minute. I'm sure that will change over the next couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, on top of that, I see, I don't know, 50, 60 clients a week. So I've got a busy list. I take my kids to various clubs and stuff. It's hard. It's long days, but I managed to squeeze in a considerable amount of training. I'd say probably more than most my age, or younger. but I have prioritized it, and I've kind of built it in over the last few years. And funnily enough, as I've had more kids, I've felt the need to do that more as the stresses build. As fun as they are, and as rewarding and you know, enjoyable as they are, you do have to balance it out, right? And that is a challenge, I think.
So what were you doing when you were younger? Like, obviously, because BJJ was something that you picked up not recently, obviously, because you've been doing it for a good few years now, but it wasn't something you did a long time ago, was it, when you first started training?
No, jiu-jitsu I took up shortly after the birth of my first son. So he's 10, like I said. So I look at him as a kind, and I also started my business in that same year. So I look at him as a kind of visual representation of my physio clinic and my jiu-jitsu journey. So yeah, and it's not a coincidence really, either, all of those things happening at the same time. So when my wife fell pregnant with our first, I felt this kind of massive pressure to provide some more, you know, predictable security to progress my career, all of these things. And at that point, I was probably training just weights like 5 times a week, you know, like a old school bodybuilding sort of split. And I just found that I wasn't getting out of my own head. I was going to gym and the phone would go and it'd be, you know, stressing me out. And, you know, even if I left the phone in the locker, I just couldn't get any kind of mental clarity from the weight training. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 16. So I don't know, it's a bit of a chore at that point. Not a chore, I still enjoyed it, but, you know, I wasn't getting the same buzz, should we say. And a mutual friend of ours from uni, Ben, had been started training in Birmingham, and he was talking about how amazing he was finding jiu-jitsu. So I found this local club, went there for the first night, sparred the first night, and just came out there as if someone had given me about 10 Valiums. So it was like yeah, kind of addicted from there, really. So, yeah. Yeah, had a bit
what
of a hiatus.
What do you think it was about that environment that was so different to weights, for example?
I just want to take a quick break in the podcast to thank our sponsors, Compex. Compex is a company that produces exceptional injury recovery tools. Our favourite, myself and Glenn, is the electrical stimulation machine. And both Glenn and myself use Compex with rehab patients, particularly post-op patients, to speed up recovery, increase muscle strength, and help with pain as well post-op. If you'd like to check out the units or any other rehab tools from Compex, simply go across to www.compex.com and use the promo code HSPhysio for 20% off any products that you buy from them. Now back to the show.
I just think it's, me and a good friend of mine, Rich Harris, who's the founder of Whiskey Wolf, which is like a big kind of clothing line in jiu-jitsu at the minute, and really kind of well-respected designer, coined the term violent meditation. So I think when you're doing that, and it could be, you could find it in many other things. I think you find a similar thing in trail running, and people find it in surfing and all kinds of stuff. But any kind of sport that is a little bit extreme, that takes you to a place where you can no longer worry about, you know, picking up the milk on the way home or whatever it might be, and you're just totally present. Like there's nothing else in the world at that moment other than trying to not let someone, you know, overextend your arm or choke your neck or whatever it may be. So I think you just get and there's tons and tons of sparring in, certainly in our club. So you know, doing katas and drills and stuff like that, I wouldn't get the same thing from that. For me, it's all about the sparring. It's like 5-minute rounds back to back, really hard exercise, very physically, mentally tough. You know, for the first 6 to 12 months, really, or longer, you're invariably going to be one of the lesser skilled people in the class. So you're learning a new skill as well. It's challenging. It's taxing physically, mentally, and like I said, a big thing for me is you're just completely present in that moment. So it is like a form of meditation, really, and something I can tap into regularly. I don't have to drive to Newquay and try and get in the water and get it, you know, once a year. Something I can do 3 times a week. So it's life changing, really, in that respect.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, you know, one of the topics I wanted to sort of touch on was, like, you know, what should guys do? And I do think as you get older, doing a discipline that is more cardio based is actually really good. And it's for that reason, because I think myself as well, over the past few years, having done more trail running, for me, that is, it gives me more of that runner's high. It gives me more of that mental boost than weights does. And don't get me wrong, I still do. I mean, I don't train as much as you. I tend to I probably train four times a week. So I probably do Monday and Tuesday, I do weight sessions. So I do like an upper body pull session on a Monday, upper body push on a Tuesday, a rest day Wednesday. Thursday, I'll do a run. So I'll run in the morning. Friday, I'll try and do some sort of like calisthenics style circuit, like upper body really. So just like dips and chin ups and different things like that. And then Sunday I do my long run. So that's when I do my trail long run. And I think that combination really of resistance training and cardiovascular training, whether that's like trail running like me, whether it's doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu like you, but I think obviously there's a lot more to Brazilian jiu-jitsu than just the cardio element, because it's, as you said, there's that mental aspect of it as well, in terms of you constantly having to think. I've never done it, but obviously, you know, having watched a lot of it, and you know, from chatting to you and stuff, it's that constant, you know, you're having to think all the time, what am I going to do next, what do I think this person's doing. I know the more you do it, obviously a lot of it just becomes natural and it becomes more automatic, rather than being something where you're consciously aware necessarily of what you're doing. But you're still, like you say, you're in the moment, you're having to think about it. But I think that's where I would say I'd highly, highly recommend that if you're over the age of 40 and you're thinking, okay, I've not done anything for 5 years, kids are getting a bit older now, I've got a bit more time, I'm getting a bit better sleep than I was when I was in my, you know, that time when the kids are really, really young, I want to start getting fit again, I want to start getting healthy, what should I do? For me, it's like definitely a mixture of a bit of cardio and a bit of resistance stuff. I think that, you know, I'm sure we'll go on to talk about, you know, things of to do with resistance training and why that's important for guys as they get older. But I do just want to stick on the cardio element of it for now and just say that I think when you're younger, you think like, if I do too much cardio, I'm going to lose all my gains in terms of my, you know, my muscle mass. I don't want to get, you know, I want to build muscle mass, so I don't want to do any cardio because it's just going to ruin my gains. And A, we know that's not really true, because, you know, if you're eating correctly, then you're not going to lose loads of gains from doing cardio. But B, I think the benefit it gives you is just so beneficial from a mental health point of view, that doing that, I would thoroughly recommend people do that as well as the resistance training. Don't just do resistance training.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's a bit of a myth, isn't it? And I subscribed to that for years. Oh, I can't do cardio, I'm trying to get bigger. It's kind of, unless you're going to be doing, you know, marathons or ultra marathons, which, let's be honest, most guys in general, let alone guys that are into weights, definitely not going to be doing that. So the odd 5K run's definitely not going to, you know, like suddenly stop you getting any kind of gains. And when you look back on it now, we're both laughing, but I did believe that in my 20s, you know, and I was telling people that as well, you know, oh yeah, if you want to get bigger, then don't run. And I personally wish I'd known that earlier. And for me, the time, I mean, I've been teaching on the subject of running for years and years, but I came at it from a kind of strength and conditioning background rather than an avid runner. And I only really fell in love with running during lockdown, when I literally had no other option to do anything else. So I've managed to do it since then, not as regular as you, and not to the level. I mean, you've took it and forgive the pun, you've took it and run with it, right? So you're kind of doing some pretty impressive distances. I got up to about half marathon in lockdown, but the minute that the jiu-jitsu gyms and stuff opened up, it took a back burner, but it's still there, you know, whereas before I didn't do it. So I do really still enjoy my runs, even though I'm only doing about one, maximum two a week. But I totally agree. I think cardio is, you know, has its separate benefits from strength training, and it shouldn't be a either or conversation. It should be a, you know, both. Even if you are struggling, you can only get two or three sessions in a week, there's nothing to stop you, you know, doing a bit of cardio within the session at the end or at the beginning. And again, that used to be, you can't do them in the same session, because if you do your cardio, it'll affect your strength, and if you do your strength, it'll affect your cardio. And that is true, you know, but I don't think that most of the people we're talking about, over 40s and recreational athletes and dads and stuff, they're not elite athletes. So if their runs a minute or two slower because they did some strength training before, it's not the end of the world, is it? It's better that they did the run rather than didn't do it at all.
No, I think that's the thing. That's the thing, isn't it? I think people go online and there's all these arguments with these exercise scientists because they're arguing about, you know, the optimal. But realistically, for most guys who are over 40 and dads, they're not going to, they don't need to do the optimal. What they need to do is consistently train 2 to 3 times a week for a period of 6 months plus, and they will see unbelievable results. And I think sometimes it's people make it too complicated, and then dads and people just get stressed out and think, oh God, it's just overload of information. When really it is the simple things done consistently over time that's going to give you results. And you don't need, it's not like you're training to be a bodybuilder. You're not training to be an Olympic athlete. Like, you just want to be fitter and stronger and healthier. And to do that, yeah, absolutely. I totally prescribe to, you know, just do cardio within your session. Or even if you were to do 2 strength trainings and 1 cardio a week, that you could do that. There's other ways of doing it in terms of, you know, like you said, doing, you know, HIIT style workouts or workouts where you're involving a bit of strength and a bit of that anaerobic fitness, a bit of that cardiovascular fitness all in one session, you know, your CrossFit style session. So there's plenty of ways you can do it. And I think, you know, as long as you have some tenets of strength training and resistance training and some tenets of kind of cardiovascular training, what you do comes down to that individual, doesn't it? And I think, you know, with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well, and I know you've talked to me about this before, that social element of it as well. So again, I run, and that's quite an individual thing, but I know that, you know, lots of guys will play football. You know, they'll enjoy going and playing football once a week. I have a friend of mine who runs a Football for Fathers, for example, which is a, you know, football that they go, it's like 8-a-side or whatever it is. They play on the AstroTurf once a week, and it's just for dads who are, you know, getting on a bit, who want to go out there and have a kickabout. And it's semi-serious, but it's not massively serious, and it's just for guys to go out there and enjoy themselves. And there is that fitness element to it, but it's also that social element to it. And I know for you that kind of environment with the BJJ of being around other guys and having that camaraderie that you perhaps don't get as much in your later years, because, or your middle years, because you're obviously busy with the kids. You're not going out on the beers as much as you would have done when you're in your 20s and you're at university and all that stuff. And so you are missing out as a guy on that social element. And I think if you can incorporate that with your fitness, that's another huge reason that you should sort of train in those environments as well, I would say.
Yeah, and I think you've hit a really important point there. So, you know, pre-kids, I used to enjoy Friday night, Saturday night with the guys in the pub. As you get older, I don't know. I haven't got any peer-reviewed journals on this, but it seems to take a bit longer to recover from those nights, I would say, and it seems to be most of my peers would agree.
Absolutely.
You just don't want to do it, do you? Like, it's just not something that you think, oh, I really want to go out with all my mates and ruin myself for the weekend with my kids. So some people choose to reduce that and not do it and cut it out of their program. But like, you miss out on, I don't know, that time with your friends. I believe it is quite important to have a little bit of time with your friends in a social environment, you know, without your kids, without your family, without your business, all the rest of it. And yeah, that kind of, I didn't realize for a while, but I started going to jiu-jitsu on Friday nights, which was just because the club I was training at the time, that was one of their main nights. And we would all go to get food afterwards. And we'd sit around. None of us would drink. We're all driving. And then sometimes I'd be out till like midnight, and I'd get home. I'd wake up Saturday, clear head. But it felt like I'd had a Friday night out. This is when I first started jiu-jitsu, so I'd have been like 32. And then I used to train Sunday mornings as well. So Saturday night would roll around and I'd think, oh, I've got training tomorrow, so I won't have any beers tonight. And then before you know it, 6 months, a year in, you're not drinking on the weekends. You're going out. You're still socializing. You feel better than you did 5-10 years earlier. You're learning this new sport, this new hobby. And, you know, now that I'm 42, I'm one of the older guys on the mat. Not the oldest, but up there. And I get to mix with all these 20-somethings, you know, elite athletes, and it's quite nice. Like I wouldn't socialize with that age group outside of the sport. I wouldn't socialize with, I mean, we've got barristers on the mat. We've got, you know, anything and everything. Chefs, we've got, you know, electricians, we've got everything, every walk of life, every religion. And we're all the same on the mat. It sounds a bit cliche, but it's true. And like Tuesday just gone, I turned up and for a grappling kind of open mat. And the only guy there when I turned up was a UFC fighter. So I spent the first 15 minutes of that session just getting absolutely battered by an elite, you know, top of the level athlete. But I feel grateful for that. I mean, when would you ever get to turn up and kick a ball around with a Premier League footballer or something? Yeah, I feel grateful for it. So it gives back to me a lot more than I give to it, you know? And yeah, the physical, the mental, but also aspects like that, social, and just being around a younger generation, hearing the sort of subjects and stuff that they're into, mixing with people from different backgrounds. So yeah, that was something I really didn't expect to get from it, but something I really enjoy now, you know, 10 years in.
Yeah. And I think, you know, though all those reasons we've just said there are obvious reasons to train, and they're all amazing reasons to train, but a lot of blokes will struggle to be consistent. So what do you reckon the reasons are for that? Like, what in your experience, or chatting to mates, or, you know, in those, what are the things that come up? What are the things that they will talk about are the reasons why they struggle?
It's hard, isn't it? I think there's so many. So I mean, for a sport like jiu-jitsu or an activity like trail running, especially the distances you do, it's hard, isn't it? Like, it's hard. So things that are hard, you need a lot of discipline and dedication to persevere with, to get to a point where you actually enjoy it. Because I don't think anyone enjoys, I certainly didn't enjoy trying longer runs when I didn't have a base of fitness. And I mean, I did quite enjoy jiu-jitsu when I was rubbish at it, but a lot of people don't, you know. So yeah, I think if, you know, you've got to go through that period with a sport where you're not very good at it, you're learning it, you're picking up the ropes, you've got to kind of not have much of an ego, really, which is quite hard, isn't it? I would say for everyone. Training in general, I think gyms can be quite intimidating if you've never trained in them, for a lot of people, rightly or wrongly. I think, you know, stepping foot in a gym for the first time, if you've not been exercising for, you know, 10 years while you've been concentrating on careers and families and stuff, it's quite a hard step to take. And you can go online, there's so much information, good and bad, it can be quite daunting. You don't know where to start, isn't it? So I think that, coupled with commitments, work, you know, we're all creatures of habit. You sit down, watch Celebrity Jungle or whatever, like suddenly you want to try and do some workouts, or get up early to do some workouts, or try and build it into your routine. To make it part of your routine is difficult. And I'm very lucky, you know, in a way that I've got my clinic that I can build into my day when it suits me. Whereas a lot of people that are employees or working for someone else, they have to do it like before work or after work, or maybe in a very short lunch break. So it's an opportunity as well, isn't it? I think a lot of dads have a bit of guilt, like if they go training after work rather than going straight home to help out with the kids, they feel like they're somehow, you know, cheating their partners or kids, or not being the best dad that they can be. So I think that's quite hard to understand. Actually, you know, two or three times a week is not being selfish. Well, it's being selfish, but for the right reasons. Makes you a better version of yourself, ultimately, and you'll be around longer with your kids, and you'll be able to do more with them. And I think it's the same with the mums, you know. Like, me and my wife struggled for the first year in terms of finding time to exercise, and our conclusion was, you know, I need to be there to have the kids while she plays netball and does her sports in the same way that she supports me, rather than sometimes it can become a bit of a, oh, you're doing this and I'm doing that, and a bit of a kind of tit for tat, isn't it? So I think that's quite hard. So I think they're all they're all challenges that are, you know, difficult, and everyone's got their own unique situation. So I think there's quite a few, actually, and the biggest one is starting.
I think definitely. I think that's the, I think you hit the nail on the head, really. Like the big thing is making that consistent habit, isn't it? I think that's hard to start with. And like you say, because when you first start any fitness endeavor, it's hard. It is difficult. I know, like you, I actually wasn't a runner before lockdown. I used to do lots of sports in the past, as you know, like played hockey to a decent level. Used to play football, obviously, as a kid a lot, and played,
you know, rollerblading.
I was all right at that, but yeah, did like lots of different sports. But you know, I always, my cardio was always doing something, doing a sport. It was very rarely. I actually, to be honest with you, completely frank, I found running quite boring. But I think the reason for that was that I'd always done it on the treadmill. So it'd always been, I'll go for a run on the treadmill to try and get a bit fitter for hockey or for whatever it might have been. And, you know, even to this day, I find treadmill running very boring. I much, much prefer getting outside. But I don't know if it's getting older but, you know, just getting outside was huge for me. So when I remember in lockdown, I remember doing a 5K round here, and having to walk three times in that 5K because I was just so knackered. Now, I probably was doing the classic mistake that most people make when they go out for runs, and that's just run too fast straight away. Like they'll run like they would run playing football or whatever, but constantly. And you just can't do that. You've got to obviously slow it down and build up your kind of zone one, two sort of training zones so that you can actually have that aerobic base that you can then, you know, do more and further. So it was probably a lot to do with that. And when I started slowing it down a bit, obviously you can go a bit further, but still, like, you know, it was insane how, you know, how bad I was to start with in terms of just doing the distances. But it builds over time, like anything, and you just keep doing it. And if you keep that consistency up, you do get there. And I think for me, one of the big things has been having a really strict schedule of when I do it. Like, and I think a lot of guys should think about that, in the sense of, and as you said, with your wife or your partner, just sit down and say to them, right, you know, I want to train, I want to exercise three times a week, or whatever it might be for you. You know, some people it might be two, you might be four, but you want to train this many times a week. Okay, let's sit down and go through when the best time is for me to do it. And same for you as well. So, you know, get them involved if they want to, obviously. And I think having that set day, I know it doesn't work for everyone, but I would really recommend that people try and find specific times and days that they do it every single week the same time. Because I think that you then get into much more of a mental rhythm of when you're going to do it, and you just, it becomes more automatic. It's like, okay, Monday after work, I just go in the gym. Like, that's as simple as that. Like, I don't even, my brain doesn't even really compute that I'm doing anything else, because I do the same thing every single Monday. Tuesday, get up, first thing I do, go into the garage, do a workout. Like, it just happens. Like, I don't really need to think about it. I think it's almost taken out that roadblock of having to find the motivation to do it. Because if you do it at times when you don't know when you're doing it, you just say to yourself, oh, I'm going to try and train three times this week at some point. Well, then every time you train, it's like you're having to re-motivate yourself to then do that session, because you don't know when it's going to happen. So it's like, oh, can I, right, today I can probably do it tonight. Okay, can I be bothered? Okay, you know, get back from work, tired, etc. And then it doesn't happen. And then suddenly three times a week becomes once a week, becomes haven't done it for a week, becomes haven't done it for a month, and then you're out of the rhythm of it. So I really do think having that specific schedule of when you do it has a massive impact on doing it. And I think it does, you know, getting that support from people around you, like you said, I think as well, like your wife, your partner, you know, speaking to them about it and trying to really, you know, encourage that positive environment around exercise as well. Because I think there's no question that it is harder if you're around people who don't train, right? I feel quite lucky that Kate likes to run. She likes to train. She likes to exercise. So I know that she knows the value it brings me to do it as well. And not everyone has that fortunate position, you know, where they have partners and people that are going to support them in their exercise endeavors. But I think, you know, if you haven't, it's either finding friends that will support you, or just having honest conversations with your partners and things in terms of, look, this is really a priority for me. It's really important. So I think, like you said earlier, there's no question that when I've trained, I'm a better father, I'm a better husband, I'm more chilled out, I'm less stressed. And so I think that getting over that roadblock is huge. So that's the consistency and, you know, getting that environment. So creating an environment that kind of supports you in that way. And then also I would say doing something you enjoy as well. So one of the roadblocks I think people have is like, oh, I know I should do this, so I'm going to do that. And then because they think they should do it, not because they actually enjoy it, after 2 weeks, it's like, they don't want to do it because they don't enjoy doing it. So, yes, of course, we're saying in this podcast that, you know, resistance training is good for you if you're a guy, and get some cardiovascular stuff in. But if you absolutely love doing martial arts, for example, and you want to do that 3 times a week, do that 3 times a week. Like, you don't need to do strength training. Now, there are some benefits that we're going to go on to talk about in terms of when, you know, the difference between training from at 40 than at 20, and how things might change physically in the body as we get older. And so there are some benefits to doing resistance training. But I would still say, if you absolutely hate weight training, but you love doing some other sport, then do that sport. You know, if it might be that you just do a very, very small amount and you know, of some sort of resistance training just for the health benefits, and you just see it as like taking your medicine. You know, you just see that as something that, you know, you're doing to, you know, injury proof yourself for the sport that you're doing. But I think, you know, don't feel like you have to do a specific thing because other people do it or other people have told you it's the best thing to do. You know, find something that works for you, find something you enjoy, because I think that's when you're going to do it more, right?
Yeah, I mean, the best exercise is the one you do, right? But there are differences between the modalities as well. Like, there's no doubt. It's like, I love jiu-jitsu, but it doesn't always love me. You know, I've had shoulder injuries, broken ribs, ACL tears, meniscal tears, you know, surgeries. So if I'd have just stuck to strength training, I wouldn't have had any of that. So there is that, you know, there is a risk to contact sport and, you know, high demand sports that isn't present with strength training, really. So the I always say, why are you doing it? You know, so why are you doing it? And is the juice worth the squeeze? The famous Ender King line, you know, that we use with our ACL clients. But so if their goal is, I don't like the way I look, I want to look better next summer on the beach, then I would say almost certainly you have to do strength training. Yeah. So that's going to give you the best bang for your buck for aesthetics. If they said, oh, I just want to, you know, I want to be able to keep up with my kids in the park playing football, then almost certainly you should do some running. Yeah. So the goal is important as well. Right? If they're saying, I'm really struggling with the demands of my life, I've got a business that's really, you know, busy and out of control, I got kids that are stressing me out, I got this and that, you know, then I'd say, well, do whatever makes you feel less stressed. So the goal is important as well, and the goals aren't always what you enjoy, right? So if someone's saying to me, oh, I want to look really good on the beach, but I really love, I don't know, playing pool, then it's not going to achieve their goal, is it, you know? So
totally.
So you do have to kind of have that conversation. And with each level, like each extra 10 miles that you run per week with your trail running, you're going to get an increased injury risk, right? Just from exposure and overuse and stuff like that. So there is a balance to be had. Now, the way that balance falls for each person, you know, if you can only train 2-3 times a week, you can pretty much do what you want and not worry too much about the injury risk. But I think the goals are important as well, right? So like, we have people that come and train and and pick up injuries. We have people that don't, but I would say overall, the ones that are a bit more robust are the ones that have a bit more of a balanced program, you know, where they're kind of looking at a bit of strength training, especially as you get a bit older. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The bang for your buck with the strength training for older men is established, right? But like you say, you do get people that hate it. And if you hate it, are you really going to do it? Like, you might motivate yourself in January, but you're still going to be doing it in August, September. So my argument is you can always find a way. And sometimes if you've got more time, it's like you said, it's like taking your medicine. It's like, to be honest, I don't love it anymore. I don't enjoy it, but I do it for, you know, trying to maintain some kind of muscle as I get older, maintain my strength, increase my strength for my sport. It's also something I can do in the lunchtime where I'm not like massively sweating and I don't have to, you know, go and take 5 hours out of the day to change clothes and stuff like that. So, I wouldn't not do it because I enjoy it and it breaks my day up. But, given the choice, I'd do jujitsu 7 days a week, but I'd be in bits after a month, you know, I just wouldn't be able to do it. So,
that's a good point. And I think the people that say they absolutely hate strength training, I think, again, my question would then be, well, how are you doing that strength training? Like, what have you done before? Because, you know, they might have gone to a PT, for example, and got absolutely destroyed and then been like in bits for about a week and just thought, fuck this, I'm not going to do that again. But that doesn't necessarily encapsulate all of strength training. You know, body weight training is strength training, but you're not going to necessarily be as sore as if you do loads of like walking lunges with dumbbells, right? So it's the type of strength training you do. And I think also the way your body adapts to strength training gets better the more you do it. So it's like similar to the running. When you first start doing anything, you're bad at it, you feel weak, you feel not great. But over time, you can progress that. So I think even the people that say they hate it, you know, and maybe they're not going to enjoy it as much as other things, you can probably adapt it in ways that does benefit them. Because, you know, we've sort of skirted around the subject a little bit, but, you know, we obviously, as you get older, you are going to lose testosterone. You are going to lose that male hormone, especially over the age of 40. There is a general decline, and this is true of men and women in terms of not in terms of the testosterone, but in terms of muscle mass and flexibility. We know that men and women both reduce their muscle mass and their flexibility over time. That's just something that there's a natural decline over a certain age. Now, you can slow that decline down with strength training and flexibility work, right? So I think that for me is something where we know there's a natural decline. And so we know that we can say confidently that those sorts of disciplines, training wise, some mobility work and some strength training is going to be useful for you long term. And then obviously cardiovascularly, I think it's fairly well established. I know you've done a talk and talks about the mental health benefits of that, about the, you know, the amazing studies that, you know, show that it's as good as things like Prozac, you know, going for runs, as good as antidepressants for that sort of thing. So there's no question that as a discipline helps with the mental health side of things. And I think exercise in general does, doesn't it? But we know with the running that there's some good evidence out there that supports that. So I think, you know, we do have to look at that research in terms of, you know, reduction in muscle mass, reduction in testosterone for guys, and say that actually strength training is important and probably is more important in your 40s than it is in your 20s, even though in your 20s a lot of people want to get big and get strong because of the aesthetic reasons. But actually it's probably more important in your 40s than it is in your 20s in terms of maintenance of that over the long term.
Yeah, I mean, don't they say you lose on average about 10% of your muscle mass per decade after 40, which is quite a grim statistic, isn't it? But I remember I did my postgrad research on strength training and older adults. I think that was more like over 65s, actually, as opposed to over 40s. But I always remember reading a line about what are the goals of like older adults. I mean, you know, 60 plus, 70 plus. what do they struggle with? And it's primarily like getting out of the bath, getting off the floor, getting out of a low chair, you know, and this is all strength based, isn't it? So for me, in terms of longevity, I think there's a big argument for strength training as well, because was it me and you talking about this? A relative of ours, or I've got a couple of relatives actually that struggle to get off the floor if they haven't got anything to help them with. So, and I think you were maybe talking about a relative that fell off a ladder and couldn't get up or something like that. So, you know, these things are quite scary, aren't they? You know, the idea that, and that's not overnight, is it? It's not suddenly you wake up and you can't get off the floor. That's a slow decline over decades. So if you're actively working against that, then, you know, avoiding any kind of major illness, you're going to put yourself in the best position to be in the best physical condition you can be in your 70s, 80s, right? That's fairly logical, I think, if you back engineer it. And I was listening to a podcast where they were saying it's a good exercise to put yourself at 80. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have at 80? How strong do you want to be? What kind of VO2 max? And then you can kind of predict how much that will decline in the decades from 40 to 80. So then that gives you a baseline of where you should be at 40. And it's actually a lot fitter than most people are, right? And a lot stronger than most people are. So, for me, longevity is key as well, right? You want to be in the best shape you can be for as long as you can. We're not going to live forever, but we can improve our quality of life for the time that we're here.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's improving quality of life. And I think you've said this before, but I think people need to see training sessions as kind of putting pennies in the bank of their health. So many people don't, you know, do stuff now, and then they get to 50, 60, 70 and suddenly realize that physically they're not in good shape. And it's not that it's necessarily too late at that stage to do anything about it, but it's hard then, really, really hard to then get themselves out of that hole that they've kind of got themselves into and got themselves into that over decades. And so every time you train, every time you exercise, it's just putting that little penny in the bank for the years to come when you are wanting to be fit and healthy. And like you said, we're not going to live forever, but it's that quality of life, isn't it? Like, you know, I can't remember the phrase, but you're going to live long. It's improving that health, or improving the quality of life, the quality of your life over the long term, rather than absolute numbers. You know, it's how like well are you going to live the last
health
10
span.
Years. Yeah.
Health span versus lifespan, isn't it? It's that kind of philosophy. Yeah.
Totally. Because, you know, if you live to 90, but the last 15 years of your life are absolute misery because you're physically done and you're, you know, and like that's not ideal. Whereas if you, you know, go out at 85 and the day before you're walking around and you're feeling absolutely amazing, then, you know, I think that I'd much rather be that latter, you know. So I think, you know, all the things that we have talked about in terms of training, that's something that people want to think about in terms of that. Yeah, like you say, that longevity. And so, yeah, that's the way that I think. And the other thing I was going to say about mobility side of things, I think a lot of people think, oh, I've got to do resistance and I've got to do stretching. But actually, there's loads of evidence out there now with full range strength training. So if you do deep squats, if you do Romanian deadlifts, if you do exercises that do incorporate a good eccentric portion of the lift and exercises that take your joints through a good full range of motion, you're going to be getting the mobility for free and you're getting the strength benefits. So it's not even like you necessarily need to do loads of stretching on top of that. Now, obviously, if you're particularly stiff, you might need to, you know, it might be a good thing to do a little bit more flexibility training. But actually, if you do proper strength training in a, you know, in a graded way with full mobility and you're taking your reps to full range of motion, you're probably getting a lot of that mobility for free when you're doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, I think you're right. People overlook that. So doing full range exercises are mobility exercises in themselves, aren't they, really?
Yeah, Totally, yeah, yeah. So let's just finish off with, you know, how should, you know, we've kind of talked about it already, really, to be fair, but how should a 40-year-old different, you know, how should their training differ from a 20-year-old? Should it differ? I don't know what your thoughts are on kind of rep ranges and stuff. I've got a few thoughts on that in terms of that side of things. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that side of, you know?
So I think there's two types of 40-year-old. So there's the 40-year-old that's trained since they were 20 versus the 40-year-old that's trying to start training to improve their life. So I think they're two separate categories, really. So yeah. I think if you've trained consistently since you're 20, again, this is just anecdotal, really. For me, I found what I call my master's athletes. So any of my athletes that I see that are over, depending on the athlete and the sport, but 35, 40, I would advocate a slightly different training program to 20, 25. So I think recovery days, again, going totally against my program here, but I'm not training at that intensity, really. But recovery days are more important. And what I tend to do with my strength work is I'll cycle it. So 1 week will be lower load, higher reps. The next week will be, you know, kind of moderate load, lower reps. And then the third week will be a kind of a strength 5x5s kind of week. And then it will cycle back to the lighter week so that they're not pushing themselves for consistent periods of time, especially if they're doing a sport as well. So if they're runners or footballers or rugby players or jiu-jitsu or whatever, you have to look at their overall program, right? So, I mean, if they're just in the gym, then we could do more, you know, just general periodization where they'll do weeks in one level and then change. But for a lot of my athletes that are, you know, masters athletes that are doing a sport as well, their S&C, I will cycle like that so that they're never sitting in the real heavy load weeks for too long. And if they have events coming up or seasons, then we can even periodize it over the season so that they're doing a bit less S&C when they're competing or playing, and then they do a bit more off season. So, and that's a nice kind of general way of looking at it. And I always will build in like a recovery week or something every 6 to 8 weeks so that they have a really light week where they just do 50% of what they would normally do, or they don't do anything at all. They do a bit of, you know, something different, yoga, a bit of badminton or something like that, that they wouldn't normally do. That's for that athlete. I think if you're 40 and you're starting, then again, it's tricky, but I think you have to just start really, really small. So rather than joining the gym and setting the days right from the off, they might want to get up, and when they have their shower, they just do, like, you know, 10 squats, 10 press ups, 10 sit ups, and then they build from there until they're doing, you know, 100 squats, 100 press ups, 100 kind of sit ups, and then they might join the gym from there and just build a base, but it might take them a couple of months to hit that, you know. So I think you can never start too small if you've never done any training before, because you're just gonna find it overwhelming if you go into a gym with a program written down and you've never even set foot in a gym. So if you can't do a body weight press up or, you know, a certain number of bodyweight squats, there's no point in even going in and loading yourself up until you can do that. So I think, you know, in the comfort of their own home, set time, set day. And then once you've got that base, then start to think a bit more outside the box. How can we progress this? I'd like to say in the background, maybe a couch to 5K running program, something along those lines. You know, keep it easy, keep it simple. It doesn't matter what they're doing on day one, as long as they're doing a little bit more on day two, day three, day four, little small progress. So I think with the one, you're trying to pull them back. They're not the same as they were at 25, and they keep injuring themselves and overtraining and getting kind of tired. And I know I went through that at probably 35, 36. I was just constantly tired, drained, trying to push myself the same way I did in my 20s, and then my body just wouldn't recover as quick. It wasn't necessarily getting injured, but just was overtrained. And then with that cyclical approach, you get your energy levels boost again. You feel like you did when you were younger. But then with the ones that haven't trained, again, it's different, isn't it? So, yeah. What do you reckon?
No, I think that's a really, really good approach. And I think a couple of points I wanted to make on top of that, because I totally would agree. I think, you know, one of the reasons why you probably, you know, get away with things a little bit is because you're not you know, every day you're doing isn't intense. Like you said, you've got your 6K run, which is fairly comfortable. So I think you can train every day, but you just have to think about the volume and the intensity so that there are days within that are recovery days. So it might be mobility work. It might be more stretching. It might be doing a run that's like a zone one or a zone two, where you're really not taking your body through, you know, a intensity of workout that is going to really beat up your joints, beat up the tissues, if you're doing other intense stuff. So I think you can, you know, obviously sometimes train more, but you might need to cross train more. And like you say, reduce the heavy volume work and the heavy intensity stuff, rather than be doing 4 to 6 weeks of it like you might do when you're in your 20s. You're doing, like you say, that undulating periodization type model, which I think, yeah, is definitely would agree with. One thing I was going to say about two things I was going to say about the non exerciser, totally agree. I love body weight stuff. I think body weight stuff is a perfect way to start. The only thing, or the only caveat to that, or the thing I think we just want to be aware of, is if you are someone out there who is really struggling with their weight, as in they're very, very overweight, then body weight exercises obviously can be quite tough. So there are probably times, depending on the person, if you're really, you know, pretty overweight, that actually maybe some gym stuff might be okay, just because your relative load of what you're going to be lifting might be a little bit less. But I would say the vast majority, 70-80% of people, totally agree. Like, body weight stuff, I think, is a perfect way to start. Just a perfect way, like you said, to just build a bit of a habit, you know, really start low, just be doing stuff, you know, every other day almost, but just really kind of gradual build up of those things. And I think for those people that are really overweight, I think the thing we haven't talked about, which I don't we're not going to talk about today because we could go on for hours, but is the key thing, obviously, is nutrition. So yes, we can strength train, and we should be strength training. But certainly for those dads and people over 40 who are looking for weight loss as a primary goal, which obviously for a lot of people it will be, because they'll be out of shape, wanting to just get healthier, you know, might be on a few medications, might have diabetes, might have pre-diabetes, and might be thinking, God, this is the wake-up call I need. A lot of that weight loss, really, 90% realistically, is going to come down to nutrition. You know, yes, the beach, people that want to look good on the beach, training is going to be hugely important, because you want that muscle mass underneath that, you know, you want that muscle mass there, that when you lose the fat, that you look good and you've got a good shape. But ultimately, a lot of that is nutrition. And it really can be boiled down to, you know, being in a calorie deficit for a long enough period of time with adequate protein levels, which is going to be 2 grams per kilo body weight, pretty much. You can't really go far wrong with that type of rate routine. Trying to get the protein in, you know, 30 to 40 gram, you know, seems to be a pretty good level per meal. So if you can do 30 to 40 grams per meal, getting in about 2 grams per kilo of your body weight, and you can be in a calorie deficit of probably somewhere in the region of 500 calories per day underneath your maintenance, you're pretty much set. Like, if you can do that for long enough, then you're going to be good. You know, whether that's using MyFitnessPal to track your calories, using the apps to track your calories. I actually recently did a little bit of a lean down where I didn't track at all, but I basically just removed all snacks from my diet. It made a huge difference. And I've actually I'm going to do a video about this actually, because I think a lot of dads probably, you know, they think, oh God, you know, thinking about tracking all their calories on an app after like all the other things they've got to do and work and all this other stuff. And now it's like, oh God, what was that sandwich I had at lunchtime? I have no idea how much, you know, chicken was in there. I don't know how much the bread was. I don't know what the calories were. It's like, it's almost stressful doing that. So I think tracking's great, but I think for a lot of dads and blokes, actually really simple strategies like intermittent fasting, like calorie stacking. So calorie stacking, I'm a big fan of. So, you know, not having much for breakfast and lunch, or having less calories there, because then you can just have a normal family meal and not have to worry about what you're eating. So that's what I was doing. I was having no breakfast. I was having a spinach salad lunch. So every day having a different salad, but it was always a massive box of spinach with loads of just different greens in. Some days it was green, some days it was more salad-y, and then some protein, so chicken, tuna, whatever it might be. So because of that, not much carbs, pretty low calories. And so by the time I get to then my evening meal, I've got loads of calories to play with. I basically don't have to really worry. Whatever I do, whether it's a curry, whether it's whatever we're having for dinner, and it all is all home cooked foods, but I'm not having to worry about my calories because I know I'm so low anyway by that stage. And then having a protein shake or something a bit sweeter in the evening, because I think a lot of guys and a lot of blokes have that sweet craving in the evening times. And so if you can substitute that with like a chocolate protein shake, for example, which actually tastes quite sweet, I'll often have that. Maybe mix in some oats, almond milk, a few raisins, just make it like almost like a puddingy type thing. But again, because I've not eaten breakfast, had a pretty low calorie lunch, had a normal meal for dinner time, which might be a bit more calories, I've got those calories to play with. So I think, and then just not snacking at all. So literally just doing that daily over 30 days really made a big difference. I think I lost like 3 to 4 kilos in 30 days just from doing that, and I didn't really feel like I was actually doing anything different diet wise because I was eating the same stuff, but I just wasn't eating the snacks. And it wasn't always easy at times because I do love like a biscuit in the evenings, go ahead biscuit or whatever it might be, but there is strategies that you can use. You don't have to use the tracking MyFitnessPal strategy to do that, but I think that's a pretty good base in terms of nutrition that you can use if you're going to be using your strength training on top of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think like you say, it's all about starting small, isn't it? So if someone's eating a family bag of Doritos every night in front of the telly, just cutting that out is a good start, yeah. Isn't it? If people are having, you know, biscuits for their tea and all snacking, you mentioned a lot about finishing the kids' dinners, then just stopping that is a big thing. But I think as things progress, as you know, we like to think they do, strength training, running, whatever it may be, nutrition is no different to that. I think it's worthwhile for everyone when they're ready to spend a month or two tracking their diary, their daily intake, just because I think it's educational. And I think you just sort of realize, actually, that's that. Oh, wow, that's that. You know, for me, I had a lot of shocks about stuff like olive oil, and, you know, it's healthy, but the calories were quite high. And I remember once I was doing a high fat diet. You know, it's quite very trendy now, and I wasn't doing it that organized before. And I was eating tons of nuts. So I was pouring olive oil over everything and eating nuts all the time. And I put on a couple of kilos, you know, and now, like, if I was doing it, I would probably portion out my nuts and portion out my olive oil, and then I would be getting the healthy fats, but I wouldn't be overindulging in them. So just because they're healthy fats doesn't mean they can't make you fat, right? If you overeat them. I mean, I think you're dead right. Like, if someone's never watched their diet before, the last thing they should do is just go straight into measuring food and weighing it all out. If they get into it and they quite like it and they're enjoying that part of their training, it's a nice progression to do it for a month or 2 months, or and then maybe carry on, maybe don't. But it's educational, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, I think for those people, what I would suggest is just do a food diary. Just write it down. Just write down what you eat. You don't have to write down like amounts and weights, but if you just write down what you eat, straight away you are then becoming more aware of what you're eating, because that's what, like, most people just are just not aware that they've just smashed two or three biscuits. Like, that's just they don't even register it. Like, so I think just writing stuff down. Yeah, exactly. So I think that is quite a nice first step between, you know, not doing any tracking and then kind of tracking to a certain degree. But obviously I think the weighing it out and writing down every single gram and, you know, and then working out exactly what calories and macros and all that sort of stuff, I think for most people that's pretty overwhelming. So I think for me it's either if they're really struggling with their nutrition, then I think, like you said, it's low hanging fruit, cutting out the bags of Doritos, cutting out the easy things. But for those people that are kind of in the middle somewhere, where they're maybe not awful with their diet, but they've never really tracked at all or done any of that stuff, or they may be a bit overwhelmed by doing that, just a food diary where they write down for a week everything they eat and drink, And I always say to people, don't lie, just write down what you do, because then we can look back over that week and go, okay, well, here's the easy stuff. Here's the stuff that we can adapt, change. So I've had a guy who I train, one of my mates, Birdie, who's an absolute legend, but he loves ice cream. So he absolutely loves ice cream. So all we've done with him is change his ice cream to Halo Top, because Halo Top is low calorie ice cream and it still tastes amazing, but he's getting probably 300-400 calories less every other day that he would have ice cream just from that one little change. So it's not even necessarily always about completely cutting stuff out. It's more about modifying what you're doing in order to then make progress, right? So I think, again, that's where a good, you know, having a good coach or having a good, you know, someone like us who can advise people, look at what they're doing and advise them on what to do is really important. Because, you know, it can be a bit of a minefield sometimes, but it doesn't always have to be complex. It doesn't always have to be really difficult to do.
Like our mutual friend Patrick, he used to do a lot of personal training around Harpenden, so affluent area, a lot of, you know, rich folks willing to invest in their health, eating well, whole foods. And he said there's this mystical Harpenden wine glass. So he would track all their food. It would be completely spot on. Their weight wouldn't move. And he'd say, is there anything you're not telling me? Oh, well, I do have a glass of wine a night. And then when he questioned it further, it'd be two or three glasses of wine. There's this mystical Harpenden wine glass that's, you know, the equivalent of having two or three slices of chocolate cake every night that people are just not putting in the diary. I think, you know, the drink side of it as well. I mean, even fizzy drinks as well. That's another one, isn't it? I've had clients that are eating really well, but, you know, they don't like water, which I think is, you know, incredible. So they'll just drink fizzy pop every time they're thirsty. And then, you know, the calories from that are crazy, aren't they, when you add it up over a day and a week.
Yeah.
And there's no, you're not any less hungry, are you? You know, you could drink a can of Coke with a meal, it doesn't fill you up anymore. So you're getting these calories without any satiety. So yeah, it's interesting. So I think tracking the fluids as well as the what they're eating is really important.
Definitely. Cool. All right. Well, I think we're getting to that time now. It's been over an hour. I actually didn't think we were going to chat for that long today, but it's just gone so quick. So I've been really enjoying it. So, I think in summary, I think the big thing is, you know, don't feel overwhelmed. Don't be just get out, just do something, you know, get out there and do something. Strength training is going to be beneficial for you to some degree if you're over 40, then doing that with full range of motion so that you get that mobility effect. And I think if you're going to do it, as you said, sensible to kind of vary the intensity which you do it at, make sure you get your recovery days in. Just start, make a small habit, be consistent, because the benefits you're going to get are going to be incredible. And, you know, just, you know, as we've talked about our own personal kind of mental health, and yes, it's physical health, but as we've talked about before in other podcasts, it's the mental health side of it that for me is the absolute biggest thing. And we've kind of touched on that today, but not talked a massive amount about it, but it is a huge part of you know, making you feel mentally well. And I know that mental health, true mental health problems probably do need some other resources and help as well. But I think for a lot of those guys who are struggling a little bit, exercise can be a massive kind of gateway into other things, or even just getting over those issues. Obviously, we know the stats with, you know, biggest killer, I think, under or over 40 is suicide. I think, again, it's an age group. I can't remember if it's 30s or 40s, but it's a huge killer in the UK and worldwide as well. And so I think anything that we can do to promote, to improve men's mental health is a hugely beneficial thing. And exercise is a massive part of that. So, they're my kind of closing thoughts. I don't know if you had any thoughts, Glenn, before we head off.
No, summed it up nicely there, mate. I think, you know, there's plenty of benefits and not many cons, isn't there? So, you know, it stands to reason it's a good addition if you can fit it into your lifestyle. It will only enhance your lifestyle if you do.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, a bit of a different one today. I enjoyed that. But Yeah, we'll obviously we the next one we may be back with a guest. I think it'd be quite nice, personally. I think it'd be quite nice to do a few more of these. We'll do a few more, just me and you, on some different topics, on some physio topics. If anyone's got any specific topics they would like us to talk about, they can always shoot us a message. On Instagram probably is the best thing to do at Physio Academy. What's the your handle, Glenn?
It's Physio Academy. Yeah, so
yeah,
that's the Instagram.
Physio Academy, yes.
Yep.
Yep. So if you head over there, if you've got any particular topics, but we'll be back next time with a guest, and yeah, hope everyone has a good week.